14 through 30. It's the parable of the talents. Matthew 25, 14 through 30. For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also, he who had 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing the 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here, I have made 5 talents more. Verse 21, his master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And he also, who had the 2 talents, came forward, saying, Master, you delivered to me the two talents. Here I have made 2 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. Verse 24. He also, who had received 1 talent, came forward, saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours. But his master answered him, You wicked and slothful servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers at my coming. I should have received what was my own with interest. To take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given, and he will have abundance. But from the one who has not, even he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I apologize for my reading. So kind of hard to play it safe sometimes because we're kind of stuck and we don't know what to think or do or how to act. So sometimes we're in that play it safe mode, right? So we're like, well, someone else can do that. I'm just gonna mess it up, so I'm not gonna do it. So when it comes to using things God has given us of building up his kingdom, play it safe is kind of dangerous sometimes. The one who risked losing it all were saved. The one who was afraid he might mess up, lost. And I realized that come judgment day, if I were to say, Lord, I was 100% sure I was doing the right thing, but I took what you gave me and used it for your glory, I would get in probably far less trouble than if I said, Lord, I wasn't sure what to do, so I just kind of sat back on my laurels and let everybody else do it so that it could be done the proper way. I don't think that answer would get looked at very well. And since I'm a motivated type of person to not get in trouble, I decided the best way is to play it safe. Or the best way to play it safe was to not do what seemed like the safest thing in my mind, but to take a risk and use what God has to give me. Once I saw that playing it safe was kind of dangerous, I had the courage to risk investing what I have been given. I can't say that I read this parable once and I kind of sprung out of my chair and said, you know what, I'm going to start doing that. I can't say that. I mean, it took me a couple times to read that and kind of let it sink in and let the Spirit kind of knock me around a little bit and say, listen, this is what has to happen. But Jesus wants us to learn from this story. He wants us to refuse to take risks. We're going to refuse to live. Jesus wants us to learn from this story that when we refuse to take risks, we refuse to live by faith. And how do we conquer the fear of failure? Do we do it by hiding? Do we do it with drugs? Do we do it with alcohol? Do we do it with chocolate? Hypnosis? So how can we overcome the fear of failure so that it doesn't paralyze us to move forward? Well, I kind of thought of four things in this chapter that we can get to. The first way is to discover that everyone fails. Everyone. I stand before you as a failure. The starting point to overcome fear of failure is to realize that it's universal. James says in chapter 3, we all stumble in many ways. So they did a study. Listen to this. Study. Study. And they discovered that the study is 100% success rate. You know what the success was? Everybody fails. There was a study discovered that the failure rate of humans is 100%. We all fail at something, somewhere, sometime, anytime. So Abraham, if you want to get talking about our Bible, Abraham, he failed to believe that God was going to give him the son he promised. So he took matters into his own hands. Right? Took matters into his own hands. But God still took him. Jacob, he was a thief. You know, I'm kind of exaggerating, but it kind of sounds good. Sounds right, doesn't it? Jacob was a thief. And God allowed him to bless the world through his children. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Survived the flood. But then at the end, decided to get drunk and disorderly. And David, bless his heart. The man after God's own heart. David. The man who committed adultery. And then, behind it covered up, he had her husband sent to the front lines of the war to kill. But the man after God's own heart. We all fail. It's in our genes, unfortunately. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All. Not just certain people. Not just Baptists, Catholics, Methodists. Not just black, white. Not just Asian, Midwestern, European. All. Every single one of us. Every single one of us. Even good guys stumble. History is filled with biographies of failures. George Washington. 2/3 of his battles, he lost. He ended up becoming a president. The first president of these United States. Napoleon. I don't know how true this is, but I kind of found it on the internet. Everything's on the internet. It's true, right? Napoleon graduated 42nd in the class of 58. Napoleon. He went on to conquer, too. So the biggest thing, we just need to think that failure doesn't have to be final. Got out of my notes. The second thing, I'm sorry, failure isn't final. So we need to learn to make the most of our mistakes. Imagine a sign from a taxidermist who is also a veterinarian, right? Imagine what that sign would say. Anybody have any ideas? No matter what, you get your pet back. That is not failure. Right? That is saying that I am not going to give up in the face of adversity. I am not going to give up. So if I can't heal your pet, well, stop. You can have it. I'm joking. But just remember, either way, you get your dog back. In Galatians chapter 6, we read, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at a proper time we will reap harvest if we do not give up." If we do not give up. Isn't it true that many of us give up too quickly? How many times have we tried to turn that wrench and we're just like, nope, I'm not going to do it no more? How many times have we tried to sweep that floor but just made it more of a mess because there's hairballs right behind it? And you're just like, whatever, let the wind blow. Right? We give up. We give up too easy. But one of the best ways to learn is through failure. One of the best ways. You become a success through failure. But that is not to imply that we have to enjoy it or that it feels good. Failure hurts, but faith can move us forward. A writer, late writer, wrote, "One of the reasons why mature people stop growing and learning is that they become less and less willing to risk failure." Failure is not worse, not the worst thing that can happen. And it doesn't have to be final. Failure does not have to be final. So, our first thing is determine that everyone fails. The second thing is determine that failure is not final. And third, discern. Discern from your failure. Figure out from it. Paul said in Romans, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." Does that include failure? I would say so. God can work even in our failures. One of the most well-known failures of the New Testament? Simon. He knew all about failure. Our Lord asked him, "Come, walk to me." And he couldn't walk on the water because he was afraid. He failed when he refused to let Jesus wash his feet. He failed when he took out his sword and cut off the ear of the servant. He failed to stand up for Jesus during the trial. He failed to stand at the foot of the cross as his Savior was dying. When you read through the Gospels, it's like Simon messes up a lot. Messes up everything he tries. But Jesus gave Simon a name. He said Peter. Simon Peter. Which means rock. He offered forgiveness for all of Simon's failings. And Peter preached one of the biggest sermons, one of the biggest Gospels of the time. Converted 3,000 or more to that at that time. Just think of all the benefits of failure. For one thing, it educates us. Thomas Edison said that he had 10,000 failures before he learned how the light bulb worked. He said he didn't call it a failure, he called it an education. Because I know 10,000 things that don't work right. There are some things in our life that are only learned through failure. Failure isn't special. It Everybody does it. But to learn from failure, that is special. Smart people learn from failure. Failure also develops our skills, right? Been afraid to do something in your life ever? Think back. Maybe you were 5 or 6 or even 2 years old. Remember that bicycle with the wheels on the back tire? Remember the first time you took those wheels off the back tire? Don't let go, don't let go. You let go, but you're going by yourself. That was failure. Fear of the failure. You overcame it. Remember when you started walking downstairs across bridges? Right? That was a fear. Could have been a failure, but you got over that failure and the fear. Failure is a stepping stone to success if you try new approaches. How many stories have you heard about people who failed in one area but motivated them to try something else? What about the name Ray Kroc? You heard that before? What was the first thing he ever did? Real estate. He was not good at it, though. But what he was good at was making hamburgers. Next to Ray, we have McDonald's. How about Colonel Sanders? Started making chicken at 70 years old. And now it's a big chain. So when you fail at something, maybe God is developing a skill that you didn't know you had. You see, God uses failure to direct us in new areas. That doesn't work, try this. That doesn't work, try this. Some of us have tried ministry and we feel as if we failed, and so we've kind of washed our hands and walked away. But that's not God wants us. That's not what He wants for us. He wants to develop us. He wants to mold us and shape us and fill in those gaps and cracks of that clay He kind of massaged into what you are now. But you know, there's another benefit to failure. It also makes us less judgmental. Most of the people I know who failed tend to be more sympathetic with someone who are going through the same problem. Without failure, it's easy to kind of look down their noses at someone that's failing. Right? Ooh. Look at someone who's going through, my nephew, I have to tell you this right here. My nephew was doing heroin for a while. And he was 97 days clean. 97 days. He met some old friends and started his habit again and had to go to the hospital because he almost died. And do we look at our noses on someone like that? You just can't hack it. You can't do it. No. It's a fear of failure. We have to be supportive for someone like that. If they can't deal with it, then they need us. They need Jesus. They need the Lord in their lives. And maybe we stepped in that spot at that time. That's a new skill that you're going to be adjusted to and have to finish. And the fourth thing, we're going to be a little short today. Sorry. So we can enjoy the sunshine with the rain. So the fourth thing, decide to stop comparing ourselves. The worst thing we can do for ourselves and to make ourselves think of failure more often is to compare ourselves with someone. You know, you can look at someone and go, well, I'm not as well spoken or eloquent as he is, so I can't, you know, discuss Jesus with them. Well, how about letting them see how you live? Letting them see that you don't like certain actions, you don't like certain words, you don't like certain ways. You may not speak with your mouth, but you can speak with your body. I think this is the root of all failure. We live in a very, very competitive society. Very competitive. We've taken competition overdose. Everybody competes with somebody else. Parents compete with each parent. Parents compete with their kids. Sports competitions and parents. That's dangerous. I was a baseball coach once. Music competition and clothes. Is that not the biggest competition you've seen kids do? Clothes? Yep. It's all about competition. It's all about comparing ourselves. And the competition goes on. Sometimes people even compete through the gifts they buy. You see, success is just doing your best. Failure is not making the effort. When you compare yourself to others, you set yourself up for the fear of failure. It's even easy for me to do standing up here. You know, I think I'm not very good at what I do sometimes, but then some of you people, you know, good job, great lessons, thanks for that. And I'm like, well, it sucked. I didn't like it. But I'm trying not to let that get to me. I try not to be a failure, so I fight that fear. I even look at some of those mega churches down in Texas. Some of those big churches where the pastor stands out in the center stage and there's like a football arena full of people around, and there's TV screens because you sit in the top row, the pastor's so small that you got to see a video of him. You know, I just think about those kind of people, and it's like, I don't know if I could ever do that. I don't know if I ever want to do that. It's too much for me. But Galatians chapter 6, each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else. Take pride in your own actions. Take pride in what you do. Is something good enough for you? If you don't like it, make it better. You know, there's a, you guys have probably heard this because it's probably been around for a while, but the old saying, you know, it's good enough for government work. Right? Is it good enough for your work? Do you take pride in what you do? Do you like what you did? If you don't, make it better. See, if you want to conquer the fear of failure, you have to discover that, first of all, everyone fails. Everyone fails. You have to determine that failure is not final. It is not the end. It's not the final victory of anything. Failure is not that. And then you have to discern. You have to figure out the benefits of that failure. You can look at a glass all day and it's going to be half empty. In fact, that's what I do to people. There's a bunch of people I tell them, well, you're just a half empty kind of person, aren't you? Well, what do you mean by that? Well, you're grumpy. You got a negative attitude. Isn't the glass ever half full? How about a new glass? You want a new glass? That'll make things better. How about instead of water, how about milk? You like milk? Right? You got to find the benefits of what your failure is. You can't just look at it and go, that's bad. I ain't doing that again. You got to say, that's bad. How can I improve? It's got to be better. So, and then, to top it all off, decide to stop comparing ourselves to others. Because no one is better than anybody else. There's only one better, Christ. And we send him to a cross. So don't depend on yourself. Depend on the power of Jesus. So I only have 2 sheets left. So where are you afraid of failing? What particular area? Are you afraid of new job interview? Are you afraid of you're not going to keep your job because of economy? Are you afraid of failing in a marriage? Are you afraid of single? Are you afraid of being a bad parent? What fear of failure is gripping our hearts today? You might have a spiritual failure. God wants you to do so much in your life, but he won't if you don't allow him. You might be afraid of committing your life to Jesus. Maybe even thinking, if I commit my life to Jesus, I'll probably blow it all. I'll fail. I won't be any good at giving my life to Jesus. Guess what? You will. But your eternity doesn't depend on you. It depends on Jesus. It depends on what he did for you, not what you do. So the only failure that is complete is when we fail to respond to God's love. If you've never responded to the love of Christ, I invite you today to do that. By placing your faith in him as your Savior from sin. You might be afraid of committing to him. You might be afraid of committing to a church. You might be afraid of membership. You might be afraid of ministry. But you know, you can miss God's blessing in your life if you allow fear to control you. You can't play it safe and please God. He asks us to step outside boundaries. So I'm going to ask you to step outside your comfort zone today and trust. Trust in what Jesus has done for you. If we could just bow our heads today. Just end in prayer real quick. Just trust. Trust in the Lord. Trust in what he has working in your life. Step out of your comfort zone. You just gotta take that challenge today. You just gotta pray to God. Will you take some God-honoring risks this week? Lord, allow me to take all kinds of risks. Allow us just to say yes to you. Allow us, Lord, to accept failure. We can't do things on our own. Lord, with your help, we can do anything. And Lord, I just ask that you give us that challenge this week. Let us face our fear. Let us face our failures, Lord. Let us face them headstrong. Lord, we want to give ourselves to you this week. Holy and complete. Lord, allow us just to be led by you, not led by us. Lord, because we have fears, we have strong fears, we have failures that we're afraid of. But through you, we can accomplish all of this. So Lord, help us. Help us and take our reins, Lord. guide us in the directions that we need to go. Lord, we come to you with open arms. We just ask that you just come be with us this week. Allow Jesus, what Jesus did on the cross to do for us, to save us, Lord. Allow that just to work in our lives, to not be afraid of anything. And Lord, it's in his holy name that we ask for this morning. Amen.